Okay, if I had a title for my talk today, I don't call them sermons, and I feel more comfortable than I do up there. I just, me at a pulpit, it just doesn't, you know, I'm not used to that yet. If I had a title for my talk today, it would be Lawlessness. And the Bible reading today, if you want to go along with me, is Romans 13. And Romans 13, we read, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do not do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending community to this very thing. Remember, therefore, to do all their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom you should honor." What is there exception to that? We ought to be good citizens as Christians. That's our job, to be good citizens and a good example to our neighbors and those all around us. But there is an exception. And I'll open that. What's the exception?
The exception is when it goes against God's
principles. There you are. Water. Simple as that. The exception is when man's law goes against God's law.
Amen.
That's the only exception. That's the only exception. But as citizens, we're to be good citizens. And the lawlessness I see in our world today is a real breakdown. And of course, there's a lot of people divided on this. And of course, I'm going to throw some of my opinion in. And if you disagree with my opinion, well, that's fine, because you know, everybody has the right to be wrong. you're supposed to laugh at that. anyway, one thing I'd like to mention, the divides I see right now. What did Jesus himself say about a house that is divided against itself? It'll fall. It'll fall. That brings me great fear for our country right now. It really does. And Deuteronomy, our lesson, delves right in to my talk today. But I'm going to start out with, even the ordinary people tend to do what they think they can get away with. And all you have to do is go out on the highway, and I'm going down to Southern California, it's really prominent there. If they can go 100 miles an hour on the freeway, to do it. If they think they can get away with it. And the same thing I'm seeing out on our highways now. That just a couple of years ago, our speed limit was 55 miles an hour out there. They raised it to 65. That's not fast enough for people. It's not fast enough. I have people going by me like I'm standing still. And but as soon as a police car is up there, was sitting up there, boy, you see the red lights coming on, and their brake lights, they're slowing down very quick. They know they're doing wrong. But if they can get away with it, they'll do it. I'm a sports lover. It's the same thing in sports, though. If you can get away with something that'll benefit your team, you'll break the rules, and you'll do it. They could almost, in football, they could call holding just about every play. If they can get away with it, they do it. And they don't always get away with it. And what would any game be like without rules and referees to enforce it? And of course, our society is the same way. We have rules and we have referees to enforce that. Things that people like to get away with, well, right now, theft is a big thing. If they can get away with it, they take it. And believe me, if they thought they could get away with it, they would take anything you have. And there's many of those people that will do it. I have two sons that live down south. And in California, they don't punish anybody. What is it? About $700 or $800 they can steal. And they'll never get a criminal record. And that won't be punished. If they can get it to return, yeah, they'll do that. But there's no consequences. Can you imagine? He left his garage door open one night, and thousands of dollars of bicycles, he's a bicycle enthusiast, was stolen from his garage. It's unbelievable. Shoplifting? You can get away with it if you really want. I had one of my nephews worked in a 7-Eleven for a while. People could come in, grab a case of beer and walk out the door. He says, what am I supposed to do about it? You know, risk my life for a case of beer? No. They can get away with it. In the food markets, it's the same thing that's going on. And in our schools, discipline has been taken away with. I'm glad I don't teach anymore. I could discipline. In fact, I was a disciplinarian. And at this time, I would like my wife to read. Jeannie, our daughter-in-law, is a teacher in California. And she texted us just a week or so ago about some of the things that are going on in the school. And I'll have you talk.
Oh, I don't want to talk.
Yes, you do. Your voice doesn't carry like mine.
Okay. Maybe some of you have heard about this social thing called TikTok. It's kind of a platform. Mainly middle school kids are challenged to, like, go into the school bathrooms and vandalize, tear soap dispensers off, break sinks, and other kids will, you know, film it and then put it on social media. And it's just, this was just the note we got from Jeannie. She said, this week was rough for me. Aside from all the graffiti and vandalism to our school bathrooms, because of that dumb social media challenge, we had a kid threatening to shoot up the school on Wednesday. Almost half our families decided to keep their kids home that day. Cops were a presence in and around the campus all day, and all was well, just stressful, and doubled workload due to changing lesson plans and fielding so many emails about makeup work. As if that wasn't enough, one of my boys was sexually harassing girls and another was threatening girls with violence. Schedules were changed, but they cannot be moved from my class because they are designated special ed, and myself and my co-teacher, they have to stay with them for English. On Thursday morning, one of our newly pregnant teachers went home with a panic attack because she was monitoring bathrooms when she noticed a rowdy group of boys coming out. They started shouting at her and recording her, and wouldn't stop. A first-year male teacher tried to intervene and was shoved by one of the boys. Then the other boys accused the teacher of hitting first. On Friday afternoon, a fight broke out in another classroom during class. None of these students was giving consequences other than to apologize. Our kids have come to us so broken, and the rudeness and demands and questioning from their parents is so demoralizing. She says, I'm honestly blessed, though, within my own little bubble. My students like me and respect me, and I like them a lot this year. It's just everything outside my bubble is a mess. So, did get a note from her this morning, though. I can't find it right now, but she said they had a good week. So,
and that's not an isolated case, people. There's no discipline in our schools. They've taken that out. Kids do pretty much what they want. They can cuss out a teacher. They can do whatever they want, and they get away with it. There's no consequences. Does God discipline? Yes, he does. To take discipline away, my Bible reads, spare the rod and spoil the child. Also, I think Solomon said, well, you know, the child needs punishment. You're not going to kill him. The switch isn't going to threaten his life. But we've taken that out of the schools. We've taken that out of our society right now. A lot of people, gun sales are sky high right now because people feel like, I've got to defend myself. The society is not going to do it for me. The things are getting, I hope we nip it in the bud. But I'd like to share a little story. Like I say, when I was a teacher could use the paddle. They can't now because some teachers abuse that right. Just like in our police, they've abused their powers. And so everybody suffers. But when I was a teacher, I could use the paddle, and I didn't do it very often. I did it sparingly. But just the fact the kids knew I could do it saved a lot of problems. And I want to tell you this one story. It's kind of cute. Senior boy, big, strong kid. He was actually a Golden Glove boxer. He boxed with a club in Bend. And we had a new teacher, a young teacher, and her nickname was Bubbles Bowder by a lot of people because she was obviously endowed. And one day early, she's coming down the hall, and this senior boy walks up and sticks her with a pin right in her buns. I had just walked out my classroom door, and I saw it, and I said, Steve, meet me down in my office. So we went down to my office, and I said, Steve, number one, you don't treat teachers that way. You don't stick them with pins. Number two, your hand should never be anywhere near a female teacher's bottom. And so just to impress that on you, I want you to bend over and grab your ankles. And I had a big paddle about that long. And first of all, he looks at me like, yeah, you think you can do that? And I said, Steve, bend over and grab your ankles. He kind of looked at me and he slowly went down and grabbed his ankles. And I took that paddle, the pine paddle, and I broke it over his butt. He jumped across my office door. He turned around and looked at me and he says, thank you, sir, and walked out my door. Later on, he was in the military, and he asked me for a recommendation because he was going to get a higher promotion. I wrote that story out. He got the promotion. He got the promotion. Amen. That discipline, it hurt his bottom, but it was good for him in the end. He learned something right then and there, and later on it even got him a promotion.
Right.
Discipline is a good thing if it's done right. If it's done wrong, it's abuse. And there's a line between that. And as Christians, I hope we know what that is. But you know what? My butt was browned a few times when I was a kid. My dad was a disciplinarian, and he wanted the best for me. And he disciplined me, but it was always with love. And after he was through, he'd always give me a hug and says, "I love you. I want you to be a better person." That made all the difference in the world out of a person that disciplines out of anger and revenge or whatever it is. All the difference in the world. And with my children, I did the same thing. In the last 5 years of my teaching, I was a counselor. And I remember having a girl come in, and she was talking, they had these wild parties, and she was she drank and she smoked and those kind of things. And she says, "My parents are really cool. They don't care what I do." And I said, "That's really cool, huh?" I said, "My dad, he really cared what I did because he loved me." That kind of sobered her up, and she started thinking. That girl, by the end of the school year, was a very good friend of mine. It didn't start out that way. What do people understand? Why do they not understand or misunderstand about what is legal and what's against the law? What is it? I don't understand. We have illegal migration, but it's allowed. I don't understand, because we have good standards. I have a good friend who came to this country, was illegal, and went through the right process, and was very Americanized. She learned a little bit about American history and all the works. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, we pledged allegiance to the flag every morning. We sang "God Bless America." They don't do that anymore. They just don't do that anymore in our public schools. Do you know our freedom here in America is because of our laws and its enforcement? Have you ever thought about that? Our freedom here in America is because of law and its enforcement. But still, we take precautions. Our church has an alarm system to stop theft. And if that alarm system is set off, the police are here in no time at all. They're here to protect. It's the same thing with your home. You know what? I hate these. This is a symbol of man's dishonesty. And if you think that our system's not working, think of your own safety. And who do you call when you run into trouble? It's a good system, people. But people in power have the tendency to abuse it. And that has deteriorated everything. We need good people out there. I think I mentioned my brother was a policeman. A good one. A good one. And you know what? He and his friends would come and stop a bullet for you if they could. They were that dedicated. They risked their lives for you. I might mention what my dad used to say, that police are a necessary evil. And maybe that's so. A necessary evil. those keys are a necessary evil. Our alarm system here is a necessary evil. Did you lock your doors when you left home today? That's a necessary evil. Because we have to guard ourselves against evil. Yeah. Remember that there's people out there that will gladly, if they could get away with it, take everything you have. And you know that's true. I don't have to emphasize that. One night, my kid left his garage door open. But right now we have decriminalization. We have no consequences. I don't understand. And now I want to go to God's law. This is not God's 5 or 10 suggestions. It's his commandments. But the thing with God's commandments, if you agree, even though you're on your own, you cannot keep those, he will put those on your heart. So that's what you want to do. And when that happens, you have complete freedom in your life, people. Complete freedom. You're not withholding yourself from anything. This is how you want to behave. Does God, we've been studying Deuteronomy. Does God discipline? Wow. He disciplines farther beyond than we can understand. He's wiped out whole nations because of their twisted way of living. We've done away with the capital punishment. I don't think God did. I want to read something in our lesson today. Saturday's lesson. God, out of his saving grace and his love, offers you a salvation that you do not deserve and cannot possibly earn. And you, in response, should love him back with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That is made manifest by obedience to his law.
Amen.
God, help us keep those commandments. I pray he puts those on my heart. I look through those I know in my life. I broke every one of them. But God has promised to change me. He has given me new birth in Jesus Christ.
Right.
What do we not understand about the covenant? There's many religions say, oh, the 10 commandments are nailed to the cross. We're not combining anymore. That means we do all the murder and sometimes we go on and on and on. Where does that come from? Yes, they were nailed to the cross because Jesus confirmed them. He gave his life for them. He gave his life for us. And he promises in our own life, we can be capable of keeping those. And when we fall down, we can always go to our knees and ask for forgiveness again. Because one thing I'd like to point out to everyone and myself, how many coveted sins can we take to heaven? None go. Not a one. If we hang on to one sin, if that's what we want to do, that doesn't mean we're going to quit sinning. But when we do, it should be disgusting to us, and we need to pray. We need to pray. And I am daily, I ask for forgiveness. And you should too. because our minds go where they shouldn't go. Our behavior goes where it shouldn't go. We're shortcoming where we shouldn't. But Jesus did it for us. That's why he died on the cross. But Lord, he offers this to it. I don't understand why people don't get it. It's beyond me why they don't get it. It's beyond me why everybody doesn't turn to the Lord for a better life, a happier life, for freedom that he promises, for a love, a life where we love each other and treat all people with concern and love. Jeremiah 31:33. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Jesus wants a relationship with us. God himself, the powerful God of the universe, loves us. And not only loves us, he wants a relationship with us. And then when we are finally saved, he wants to be our God and we to be our people. He will be our president, our king, our leader. And he'll be flawless. Not what we see in the world today. And we'll be governed by total love. By total love. Spread the word, people. Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
And he not only promises a good life now, a better life now. That doesn't mean we're not going to have trials. I know when my brother was killed, I said, this happened. And I can go through it without God, or I can go through it with God. How much better it was to hang on to God in hard times.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. No matter what happens. And none of us getting out of here alive, unless Jesus comes first, of course. That's the way it is. But let's do it with the Lord. And one thing at my age now, and what I try to get to all my aging friends, we have a future. We have a great future. I don't have to look to just aging and falling apart. I can look to God for a great future. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Isn't that a great thing? And I really think that we get old soon in our lives now compared to the antediluvians who lived nearly 1,000 years. I think it's a blessing because we see our need for God. Our closing hymn, Marching to Zion, or Marching to Heaven, you might call it, page 422. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the discipline in our own lives that has brought us to you. Lord, we hang on to that promise that you'll write every law on our hearts. And Lord, when we mess up, we just thank you that we can fall on our knees and ask for forgiveness and ask for a change of heart.
Yes.
Make us new, Lord. Make us new in our hearts and our behavior. Help us as individuals and as a group to carry your word to the world. To the world, to our neighbors, to our friends and family. Lord, help us in these matters. Let us carry your word, Lord. What a What a wonderful thing it is that you've promised us. And we should be sharing that. Wouldn't it be something if somebody was left behind because we didn't share that word with them? Lord, put that on our hearts. And now I thank you for everyone here. I pray you give them safe travel and give us safe travel throughout the next weeks. And until we meet again, Lord, may we call on you for every blessing in our lives. We thank you, we praise you, we love you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.